not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keene,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life.
Welcome back. We're with Justina Joya, men's sex coach and the founder of Sexual Mastery NYC. Did I get that all correct?
Yes.
All right. Let's say what's up.
What's up?
All right. Larry, I was trying to get the time on the camera so I could sync it.
Here's the deal. It wasn't on.
The whole time?
All right. Me and Larry were making hand signals during the intro, I was trying to write down the time.
The hand jive.
But anyways, all right. Larry.
The song.
Larry, you doing the gauntlet?
I am, yeah.
Okay. Justina's going to go through the gauntlet with Larry here.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Rapid fire.
And Jeremy's very nervous about this interview.
Never rapid fire.
All right. Married or single?
Am I?
Yes.
I'm single.
Okay. Any children?
No.
Do you ever want children?
That was really definitive.
Do you ever want kids?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. City you live in?
New York City.
All right. iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
All right. We just had our first Android.
Out of all our guests, and we've had, I mean, we've only released like 15, but we've probably recorded 30-something.
Yeah.
And everybody but one has been iPhone.
Yeah. Just interesting.
I feel like there was a second one, but I don't remember exactly.
So favorite movie or book?
My favorite movie is probably Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Interesting.
And my favorite book.
Wait. That was a movie?
Yeah, with Jim Carrey.
Really?
Yeah, it's like
and Jim Carrey was in, I feel like that's like a Sundance film. I think it was. Okay.
It's amazing.
Like he basically like something happened to his like head or something, right?
No, him and his girlfriend
she said,
yeah.
love You've each other it. Deeply and then their relationship falls apart and she goes to a doctor who can erase people from your memory
yes.
and she erases him.
I knew some of the brain.
And then the whole movie is about him
Larry,
like inside of his mind erasing
his head fell off. That's not even close, okay?
So the whole movie is actually in his mind erasing
yes.
her?
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. And him trying to like keep her, like hide her in different memories so that she doesn't get eradicated. It's so good.
So what drew you to it?
Everything that I just said.
Yeah.
But it's okay. All right. We'll get into that in a minute. Favorite genre of music?
Pop punk.
Reservation or just walk in?
Wait, what is pop punk?
Blink-182.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking like Liz okay. Fair.
I don't know what that is.
Fair. I don't know what that is. Either.
Sum 41, like that type of stuff. Blink-182. Yeah. Sum 41.
Hey, Sum 41 is good.
That's the only one I knew. I wanted to at least feel like I knew what she's talking about. Like, you know,
all right.
Get involved. Sorry.
Reservation or just walk in?
Can I choose both?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Both.
Jeremy's on a roll.
Yeah. Okay. Wait.
Boom.
Why do you say both?
Well,
so you feel bad for Jeremy?
Like,
no, because
really
she knows the right
go
answer.
Somewhere, and you're dressed up, and you're excited, and you want to have a reservation.
Okay.
So you can like plan your night. And other times you're like, I don't give a shit.
But you like to get dressed
Am
up,
I
right?
To say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we got the E.
Okay.
That's what we got.
Yeah, we got the little E next to it.
E.
Okay. We're good.
We got the E. That's what they tell me. I don't really. Larry's the tech guy here. Wait, but you like to get dressed up and go out?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. Larry is a board shorts guy. I'm like, I love getting dressed up. My job doesn't require me to get dressed up at all. So when I get to put on like a nice suit and a nice hat, like
you're getting a reservation.
No, I'm not still a reservation guy.
No,
I can hang out in the lobby, like
smoke
mingle
a cigar
with people. Yeah, like
you just want to look somebody. Good. You don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'm dressed up right now.
this is
that's Larry at his finest right there. That is.
All right. So, favorite type of food.
I hate this subject.
I know you used to be vegetarian, right?
You hate the subject?
Yeah.
You hate
food?
Wait a minute. You said used to be vegetarian.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
I just opened up a whole thing.
Yeah, we don't.
He's thinking about going vegetarian.
No, I've just been.
Me and Larry are food guys. Jeremy's also kind of a food guy, but for some reason he's got this plant-based diet on his mind.
It's just out there.
And
it's in the mind.
Just
out
as
there
we
the,
said this, I remembered that you used to be vegetarian.
Yeah.
but you ate shrimp.
And
I remember that
about you're a pescatarian or something like that.
I remember that very, very vividly about Justina. Like, and this is going back years. Justina's like, no, I'm a vegetarian, but I eat shrimp. I was like, okay, I don't think that.
Yeah, there's levels and or levels. Religions or whatever, like pescatarian or pescatarian.
Yeah, but that's not a level of vegetarian.
Yes, I think that's a level of Christianity or something.
I know, I made that part up, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
What's the name of it when they eat just seafood or something
pescatarian.
Like that?
Pescatarian.
Oh, so I didn't say it right, but I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, he knew.
I don't know.
You still failed.
I admit I failed on saying it. Go ahead, next question.
What do you drive?
Nothing. I live in New York City.
That's right.
I swear to you, we already had you scheduled. We've scheduled you three times now, and it's all falling apart. But when I wrote this question into the gauntlet, I was thinking of you because I was like, you probably take the subway or something, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
and I don't understand the subway. I go to New York, and I'm like, I'll just walk. Like, I can't figure it out. Like,
it depends. I'll
just walk. That's because New York does not care. Like, they just do, they do things however they want to do things, and you can either figure it out or get lost.
Or walk.
It's just like, walk. I just walk.
Or just everywhere. Yeah. Or just download an app.
That tells they need you how to bring the scoot scoots. Mm-hmm. They haven't brought the scoot scoots to
NYC. I feel like you can in New York. I feel like if you
did. Yes, you can.
People have been talking about it, but I haven't really seen
it. It's not going to happen. There's no way.
It's going to happen.
Oh,
I'll drive it, but it should.
Oh, I would do it too.
Listen, I'd be the vote, and I really don't have a desire to visit New York a lot. I know you love NYC.
New York's fun.
New York is okay. Out of big cities in the U.S., it's probably not my favorite. But if they brought Scoot Scoots, I would definitely be more willing to go back.
No, okay? You wouldn't, because you would be annoyed that people are right in front of you and you can't get past
it. Yeah, you would just be in. You'd be like, you'd have to stand off of it and wait.
Wait, hold on.
This is a side. I feel like we need to read
my skills on the Scoot Scoot.
They're not that impressive.
No, passing. I'm on the video jumping steps, by the way. So I'm just saying.
Beer, whiskey, or wine?
None.
Okay.
You don't
alcohol?
Drink at all?
No, not really.
Not really?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you go out and.
I'm not like one of those people that's like, I don't drink, but like, I just don't really drink.
Wait, am I one of those people that's like, I don't drink?
Yeah.
You say it just like that. You do it just like every time.
Because, you know, I don't drink at all. I've never have.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we do a full Grilla Friday night.
I just assumed that was a drink.
Exactly.
It is a drink, well, but it's non-alcoholic.
We do mixed drinks. We do a non-alcoholic one, and we do an alcoholic one. Because I don't. Yes, this is my own concoction. Made it tonight. It is roasted pear cider.
He just acts drunk.
But why?
Why what?
Why don't you drink?
I just never have. I never had a desire to. So if it's like one thing that I'm like, it's not like anything that I'm like, I don't look down.
The fact that you don't drink.
Every one of my friends drinks.
I do,
drinks,
I really do.
And I can't even say it's like my body is my temple because I still smoke cigars, you know, like it's just something I've never had a desire to do. Mm-hmm. Why don't you drink?
It just, I don't know. It always makes me feel terrible.
Okay.
That's how my wife is. Usually if she has a drink, she ends up, she's like, she never feels.
Yeah. Even just one drink.
Not
it's
making
like,
her feel good. So it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
The next day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like I want it. Like I want to like it and I want it to like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make me and feel good, but it doesn't.
I feel like a lot of people use it as like a social lubricant too. And I've never needed that. I talk too much as it is.
Like, I feel like I need that.
That's a whole.
What's that?
If you did drink, it'd be a whole. Different.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need
might
anything.
Might be trouble.
I don't even know where we would, that could be a whole different experience.
Can we get
everybody
drunk right now on the show?
Everybody wants me to get drunk, and it's like one of them things.
I don't. No, I don't either.
I don't.
Because I need you to drive me.
That's not why.
Fair enough.
But okay.
It's not. But all right, so you live in New York City.
Yes.
But you're from this area.
I am from Westchester originally, which is the county right outside New York City.
Okay. Okay, so you're originally from up there, and then you moved down here?
Yeah.
Very young?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was 8.
What drew you back to New York City?
It's my home. It's where my heart is. My parents dragged me here against my will.
At 8, I guess they're allowed to do that, huh?
Yeah. Exactly.
Fair enough. Just backstory, too. Me and Justina know each other. She was in my wedding. Her and my wife have been friends for... I don't know, a while.
Like middle school.
Yeah. So that's how we kind of got to know each other.
I got to know Corey from his wedding too.
Oh, geez. No.
I didn't. I think
we don't need to go there.
You weren't invited.
I wasn't invited, but But then somebody canceled and he's like, hey,
I already paid for the booze. You want to come? Is that a nice gesture or not?
And being the lush that I am, I was like, I'm in.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah, like it's a nice gesture, right?
Like you're clearly friends today.
Yeah, and I knew him, but we were more acquaintances than friends.
He kind of, we kind of knew each other, but.
Like we knew each other in past.
I think for the level of your friendship at the time, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So total bonus.
Yeah, luckily somebody else canceled.
And look where you're at now.
He still showed up.
Now you're recording a podcast.
Well, I was like, I can't not go to a wedding if you get invited, even though it was kind of like, I guess you can come. Hey,
at least I was upfront about it, though, too, right? Like, I'm not like, hey, I forgot to invite you, Larry. Come on over.
I think you get points for that.
I'm like, hey, listen, somebody canceled. You want to come hang out? It's a good time.
I'm in. Yeah, it was different. It was a different wedding, right? It was at the zoo.
Yes.
So I was like, you know, maybe that's when the Full Grill Live podcast started.
Well, it was in my head because, you know.
It's like we're way off topic. Let's do this.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Anyways, Justina, men's sex coach. What is a men's sex coach?
There's many layers to this. But essentially what I do is I connect men to their heart, to their truth, their power, their love. And I help them to feel pleasure and intimacy at a higher level than they do currently in their own life. So I work with a lot of guys who are really struggling with sexual shame, fear of commitment, struggling in their marriages, feeling like they cannot connect to anyone, to a partner. They can't feel intimacy, like they have a wall kind of between them and like love and intimacy.
So what is sexual shame?
It's essentially when you feel shame anytime you are having a sexual experience.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And why does that happen?
Because of conditioning. So depending on the circumstance when you're growing up as a child and you start to like interact with your own body, if your parents shame you or if you are exposed to like media or school or culture, any of those outlets, religion is like a big one. A lot of religions say that like sex is shameful or sinful or bad or wrong. And that will actually become a neural network that is attached to your sexuality. So what ends up happening is like you'll receive a belief through repetition. It becomes a neural network in your brain. And that belief then creates a feeling. So naturally, we're sexual beings. It's how we're created. It's what we are. Like none of us would exist without sexual energy. It's our life force. And so when you receive messages from the outside world that are out of alignment with what you truly are, so if you're naturally sexual and you have natural sexual urges, but it's repeated to you over and over that is wrong or bad, then you have the sexual urge, and then there's like a crust around that that also makes you feel shame. So I work with a lot of people, and I was one of those people before I started this work that would have an orgasm and feel just disgusting afterwards, like totally shameful.
So disgusting mean just in shame? Mm-hmm. Like when in shame, like would it make you feel so like uncomfortable you want to cry?
You've done something so wrong or so disgusting that you want to crawl out of your own skin. That's what sexual
shame. So you're disgusted with yourself in that aspect, kind of. Okay. So I'm assuming there's probably a lot of peeling back the layers for people, because I'm sure there's a vulnerability that people have to be ready to do. That has to be. And then through that, what you said, neuroplasticity, and then you work on like getting them new neuroplasticity avenues in their brain, so to speak.
New networks that are in alignment with their goal or desire.
Gotcha.
So most people are like, I want to have a sexuality that's like free and pleasurable. There's no shame attached to it. There's no guilt. There's no like feeling wrong or bad. And so you have to decondition the one that's there and introduce new beliefs. And through repetition, they create a new network that's in alignment with that desire.
Interesting. So you kind of touched on it, I guess, but how do you get into this line of work? Like what pushed you into this line of work?
So it's kind of a long story. I don't know if you want to hear it or not. But essentially, I was married. I was with my ex-husband for 8 years. And about 2 years in, I did not want to have sex with him anymore. And at the time, I lacked a level of consciousness, so I didn't really know what was happening to like me or my body. And I thought, oh, I'm just not in the mood, or oh, maybe my hormones are acting up or something. And so I went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, no, you're fine. And I thought, well, maybe I'm just tired, you know, like all these little excuses. And so I started researching, and I was taking like different supplements, and nothing really helped me get my desire for him back. And I thought it was just a phase. But then it got worse, because talking about the repetition of like the neural networks, what I was doing at the time was, instead of listening to my body, which was not turned on, I would have sex anyway because I thought it was healthy and good for my marriage and for my relationship. And every time I had sex, when I wasn't turned on, it started creating a new network in my brain that was like associating sex with my husband as something that was like painful or numb, or like something that I was angry about or didn't want. And so over time, it became harder and harder and harder and harder for me to have sex with him. But I felt really pressured to do so because of all the messages I received as a woman growing up. Like, oh, men are so much more sexual. It's such bullshit. Men are so much more sexual than women, and they need sex and all this stuff. And I thought, like, it's my duty to like offer this to my husband. And so it got to the point where like I could not have sex with him, and I had to like schedule it so I could like mentally prepare. So I would be like, okay, we'll have sex every Monday. And I was like, the whole week.
It sounds like fun.
Why Monday?
I don't know. I would just like any day. I think I probably picked the furthest day away from whatever day I
say. Maybe. So the day you scheduled was 7 days away.
Yeah. Or so. Yeah. Originally. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. And so, yeah. So it was like this weird thing where I was like scheduling sex with him, and on top of not being turned on top of like wondering what's wrong with me, am I broken? Like what's happening here? I also felt like intense guilt for constantly rejecting the love of my life. Like all I ever did was reject him.
So during this time though, you still loved him?
Oh my God, yeah. Like I loved him so much. I was so in love with him. And then it got to like a point where, this was where it started getting really freaky, where I had no sexual desire for him whatsoever. Like none. But then I started having sexual desire for other people, and all of those people that I was like turned on by looked exactly like my husband.
Interesting.
That's weird.
And I was like, yeah. What is happening to me? So, yeah, because he was gorgeous. My ex-husband is beautiful. Yeah. All right. So I was losing my mind, and, I didn't really know, like, so I was like, I had like sex therapists, and I was like listening to podcasts and reading books and doing all this stuff. Like, what the hell's wrong with me that I'm in love with my husband. I find him attractive, but I just cannot have sex with him.
Out of all those things, did listening to podcasts help the most?
Mm-hmm.
Probably.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. Podcasts are where it's at, y'all.
But actually no, because at the time there wasn't this like explosion of sex podcasts. There was very like limited, even though this was only a couple years ago, this was like, there was like very limited information. It was very difficult for me to figure out, and it took a long time for me to finally understand that the underlying dynamic that was happening between us that was causing that. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I ended up going to school for sex, love, and relationship coaching. And it was really just this desire to figure out and understand what was happening to me and my relationship, and to save my marriage. But also, I had always wanted to be a coach. And I didn't know like what that meant or what I was going to do with that. But once my teacher, her name's Layla Martin, when she opened her school, the Tantric Institute of Integrated Sexuality, I was part of the first graduating class. And the second I read about the school, I was like, oh my God, this is it. Because I find like love and sex, just the mysteries of like our attraction to each other, so fascinating. Like, so there was like this passion to learn about it, and also this desire to understand and like fix my situation.
So you went away to the school, but ultimately it didn't fix your situation because you said it's your ex now, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah.
So what happened?
So there are things in sex coaching that cannot be fixed. And those are like deep core truths. So the underlying dynamic between my ex-husband and I was that our masculine feminine energies were reversed. So I was constantly in the masculine. I did all of the masculine tasks, like paying all the bills and like everything that we had was bought and paid for by me. I worked, he stayed at home. He cleaned the house, he took care of the dogs, he would make me dinner. So our roles were reversed. And he never really, because of his conditioning as a man, like what society does from infancy to boys is teach them that feelings are not good. You don't cry, you know, even happiness, it's like you don't want to be too happy. Just kind of be at like a baseline, like neutral.
I can relate.
Yeah, you're more cool that way. You look more cool.
Yeah.
Feel more cool.
And being stoic.
Yeah.
I prefer the word stoic.
Exactly. Be stoic. And so with him, he was very afraid of being afraid. And to do this kind of work, it's really scary. Like to feel emotion when you have been conditioned away from that your whole life, to feel really big, huge, scary emotions, it's a lot. And so for our relationship to continue, that was something that he had to do. I did everything that I could do for myself. And then there was like a fracture between us and I needed him to meet me where I was. And it wasn't that he was incapable of doing it. He just didn't
know how to.
He was too afraid. And I hope that makes sense.
That makes sense. I got you.
Yeah. And it's afraid. It's scary because it's uncomfortable, mm-hmm. right?
Very.
It's very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You got to explore yourself emotionally and where you're at. So I can understand why that would not work for some people.
Right. And when we talk about like in the beginning, talking about like sexual shame, those emotions are so overwhelming. And when we coach, what we do is we go really deep into those and we turn the volume up on them.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. and so you become like friends with it and you become comfortable with it.
But I think that goes back to what you like say a lot, Corey, is like not the connection as far as getting down to your comfort zone and then thriving to get there over and over to where it becomes easier.
Yeah, because, you know, we talk about, you know, when you get outside of that comfort zone, when you're about to give the big speech or something, that pit in your stomach, you can only get there one way. But as soon as you're there, it goes away after you stay there for so long, mm-hmm. you know, and then you have to do something else to get to the next step, you know, to get that pit in your stomach again.
Right.
But so he's not, now, do you feel he's just not willing to meet you halfway or meet you at that fracture, as you said? Or not able to, or?
So with personal growth, personal development, when you get into a relationship and you're in it, and I'm sure you know this because you've been with Sarah forever.
Yes.
you have to grow together. And when we were together, he did grow, but he grew at a slower rate than me. And he didn't want to make that huge jump because it was just too scary for him. And it wasn't what he wanted, you know? And so even though it was super scary to lose me and that wasn't what he wanted either, it was less scary.
It was a lesser of two evils for him?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Now, so when you say grow, you mean just like emotionally or?
It's about creating consciousness. So when we talk about growth and like levels of growth, really what we're saying is we're becoming aware of what's happening in your mind. The behaviors and the patterns that you run all day, every day, it's like you turn a light on and you're like, oh, I didn't even know that I was doing that. And so like with the growth, it was like he was becoming aware of some things and changing some things and growing in that way but for him to move to the place that I was at, for us to have like a thriving relationship, he would have had to like really overcome a lot of stuff and that become aware. And that's the thing about awareness, is like a lot of people don't want to be aware of what's happening in their brain.
Agreed.
They know it's there, they're like, oh God,
I got problems.
Then they
got
to deal with it, right? Too.
Yeah, no, I can totally understand that, because like I feel like I'm always self-reflecting, mm-hmm. which by the way, is probably like annoying to a lot of, like, you know, I could see how somebody would be like, that's annoying.
If you're right? asking if you're annoying, yes.
Yes. I'm right on the time on that.
Do you feel like when you started, said you were growing at a different rate, do you feel like that's when you stopped being as attracted to him? Is that where the attraction started to separate as well?
Yeah. So my pattern that I was unaware of was that I would get into relationships with men who needed me for everything, like physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, because then they wouldn't abandon me. And this was all subconscious. I didn't know that. So when I met my husband, I just, you know, pushed him right into that same pattern. And I thought he was different because he was a professional fighter. He was very like masculine, but in the relationship he wasn't. And so outwardly I was like, yeah, finally, this is like a great fit for me. But the dynamic, the energy was still the same. I was still attracting the same thing because I wasn't conscious of the pattern that I was running. Gotcha. And I didn't know that that's, you know, that I was, because this is what we do subconsciously. Our brain literally like sets things up for us to keep us safe. And so my brain was like, oh, if somebody relies on me for everything, like they'll never abandon you, but it will crush any sexual desire you have.
Got you. Do you think that's like something society puts on us though? Because to talk about sex is so taboo. Even still, I feel like today, 2019, like you don't talk about sex. Like
it makes some of us blush.
Well, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, Jeremy's turning red as we speak.
I'm good now. The thought of it before
him. He's settled.
Are we about to go?
Yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah, but you're right.
I mean, I feel like, and then in turn, I feel like when people get together, they don't talk about it until they're further along in their relationship a lot of the times, mm-hmm. About what it is to them or what it means to them or their desires or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're really far into the relationship before they ever discuss anything like that. Does that seem to be the case, or is that just me?
I think people are becoming more aware, and they're caring more about that in the beginning of the relationship. And maybe my view is skewed a little bit because I work with men. Uh-huh. I mean, I work with women and couples too, but like I mostly work with men because that's where my passion is.
Okay.
So that's really important. Like sexual validation to a man is the most important need to be fulfilled. And that's because of conditioning. It's not just like a natural thing. But that's what I always hear from them is like, okay, this is what I want sexually with a woman. And like, I'm going to be open with the next person I sleep with, and I'm going to like really communicate and that kind of thing. So my view could be a little bit skewed, but I do feel like more people are, it's more important now.
Yeah.
Because it's still taboo, but it's less taboo.
Yeah.
Listening to you say that, I'm like, taboo. I'm like, this is all I think about, and this is all I ever talk about. And I'm like,
yeah, but I mean,
but that's okay.
I think, you know, that's just because it's become your comfort zone.
It's my industry.
Yeah. Because you're in the industry now, it's very comfortable to you.
Yeah.
But I think outside of that industry, it becomes still, you know, I don't think me personally, I don't think it's changed much.
No.
30, 40 years, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, it's definitely changed, but I think it's a slow, very gradual change.
Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to that vulnerability piece though. Like people are just not willing to throw themselves out there.
Yeah.
So therefore that change is just going to happen slow because of, I mean, yeah. So much to that.
There is nothing more transparent than sex. Like it's not even a metaphor to say like, oh, we're naked, but like we're see-through.
Yeah.
When we have sex, like it is our most vulnerable. It's like we're showing our core to somebody, even if it's a one night stand. Like it's really intense. And in a world where we're not allowed to be fully expressed in all that we are, it's like, it's pretty.
Well, yeah, because I mean, it's a deep connection. Even if, like you said, even if it's a one night stand, it's still a deep connection. Now, why do you think it is that you touched on it briefly? Why society says that women are so much less sexual than men?
Okay, so this is like my favorite thing to talk about. So there's a couple of layers to this. So first, there's something called sperm competition. Women are multi-orgasmic naturally. Men are not naturally. And the reason is because there's this sperm competition that happens where two different or three different or four different sets of sperm come together and they give off these proteins that fight each other. So sperm fight each other in the womb, you know, for the best genetically, you know, strong, whatever, to reach the egg. And if you look at gorillas, they're very muscular.
Yes, full gorillas. Mm-hmm.
They're really muscular compared to like a human being or a chimpanzee or a bonobo, which are our closest relatives.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because they fight each other in reality for a good genetic match. And their testicles are the size of kidney beans and they're like up inside their abdomen.
So they're like living sperm.
Mm-hmm. They are. And their penises are like an inch long.
Okay.
And human beings obviously have massive testicles. Chimpanzees have
some
large testicles. And all three, the human beings, bonobos, and chimpanzees all have like very large dicks in comparison.
Okay.
So, and the reason is because of sperm competition. The sperm are fighting each other. And the womb is a very hostile place for sperm as well. Like it's making you work. It's making those sperm work. It wants like the best baby it can possibly produce, obviously, that for makes, evolution.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd never thought about that.
So.
But gorillas don't do that, you say? Well, they do it in real life, though.
That's why they're so muscular, because they fight each other in reality. So it's really funny because what we've done is religion and society has taught the complete opposite of what biology is. Women are meant to have many, 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 many sexual partners. And the reason why guys just like fall asleep after an orgasm is because they're done. They've done their job. And the reason why women are multi-orgasmic is because they're meant to keep going. But in our world, it's like, oh, no, no, no. You're supposed to be a virgin. You should only have sex with like maybe a handful of people. That's it. You know, otherwise your value goes down. And with a man, the more people you sleep with, the more women you sleep with, the more value you have. It's completely opposite to what our biology says.
That makes sense. Yeah. No, so it makes sense what you're saying in the sense that, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Now, the cool thing about
no, I'm just processing it. I'm processing, trying to like put it in place because, you know, like you said, women, you're not supposed to, right? If you look at society, you're not supposed to go, for lack of a better word, sleep around. Man, the more notches you get in your belt, the better.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When we look at that belief that was instilled in me in my marriage, it's like, oh, men, you know, they need sex. And I need to give that to them because I'm not really that sexual. And it's just like, now I look at, you know, what the truth is. And I'm just like, oh my God, I was so backwards. And everybody's backwards. It's just how we are because we're conditioned to be this way.
So do you think we should have monogamous relationships, or you don't believe in that?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is the cool thing about being a human being is that we're conscious creators. We get to create whatever we want. We can use our brain and change our biology with our thoughts. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be monogamous, you get to be monogamous.
Yeah.
Naturally, biologically, we're not.
Yeah.
But you get to create that because we're conscious. It's a miracle. Like, we can do anything we want.
I believe that.
That's a good point. I like that, though, because I never thought of it in that term.
Yeah,
because
like people are always creators. Like, we're monogamous or we're not monogamous. And it's just like, actually, you just get to be whatever you want. Like, that's really the cool thing about being a human being.
Yeah.
If we can fly through the sky, you know, in an airplane, it's like, how did we even make that? I think we could, like, be monogamous if we want to be.
We just talked about this the other day, me and Corey.
We just talked about this on the last podcast.
Yeah, Corey's going to make a plane, he said.
Yeah, but we talked about
the garage.
So that I yeah, but fly. We talked about how we could teach ourselves how to fly a plane through YouTube.
Yeah. With YouTube, we can figure out pretty much everything.
I think so.
I think that's the evolution of society is YouTube.
Yes.
Okay.
Forget sperm competition.
Yes. YouTube.
Best posts, most likes. same principle.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing this for?
3 years.
And what is the biggest misconception you feel that people have about a sex and relationship coach?
About a sex and relationship coach specifically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like what is a misconception that you feel that maybe a client has come in to the door thinking it was something, but it was not,
or
that?
Or they won't come in because of something.
Yeah, it's a good point.
First thing that comes to mind is that it's like therapy. It's not like therapy. In two real key ways, but it's hard. It's really hard to describe because coaching is an experience. So, it's kind of like you having sex.
And you're like cheerleading?
No.
Okay.
You just having sex.
Sorry. I just got this.
And you telling
guys,
him.
Guys, you're doing it wrong.
You telling him what that was like, and he's never had sex.
Okay.
And so like logically, you can understand what that experience was like.
Can you guys do that?
No, Larry and Jeremy cannot have sex.
Like what?
No, that's not what happened? She said. That is not
that
what,
isn't
she said.
What I said.
By the way, that was not the way it went. But oh, by the way, we have video.
Okay.
Oh yeah, there you go.
That's cool.
You're caught. So it's instigator. Like you can logically understand what coaching is, but until you experience it in your body, it doesn't really make sense until you embody it. You know, like, so if somebody explains sex to you, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. But then you have sex and you're like, whoa.
That was not it, or?
It's so much better than what they said. Come on, like somebody, right? Am mm-hmm. I wrong? Like somebody's going to talk to me about sex or actually have sex. I mean.
Having the experience is
I'm
like.
I'm going to choose having the experience every time. Yeah. I mean, am I the only one in this room
nice,
out of
know,
the three
I
guys
know,
that do it that way?
No, I get what you're saying.
All right. Yeah. All right. I just want to make sure I wasn't the weird one here.
Justina said, we're all hey, like, no.
Justina's calling into plays, all right? She's going to be like, no, I need to cross right, 42 left.
Go. Get 'em. Well, that is another misconception. People are always like, I get guys who call me and they're like, all right, so are you going to like watch me have sex? And I'm like, no, I'm not like a referee.
No, like, but I mean, do you get like, though, because you're talking about like really freeing things in our mind and, you know, trying to fix our psyches kind of.
Mm-hmm.
What about like just being better at sex?
Yeah. Sex is experienced in the brain.
Yeah.
You want to have better sex, you have to upgrade your brain.
No, but I mean, upgrade beyond that, like, I mean, do you do like, are you going to get better at sex? Like,
are you going to get better at sex?
Like you're the sex I would think coach,
that,
right?
But
like,
I would think what she's doing is letting you become well, more conscious, and by becoming yeah. more conscious, it's going to improve it just without changing
yeah,
anything.
Yeah,
sex is a side effect of uh-huh. the connection that you have to your own body, to your heart, to your truth.
Uh-huh.
So I call myself a men's sex coach because men are not conditioned around sex.
We that's just think like, about it all the time.
You think about it all the time and you're like, men's sex coach? I want that. If I was like, hey, well, I'm a men's love coach, negative. There would be crickets. Okay. Like,
I agree.
Right. Yeah. So when I work with somebody, I work with them for 3 months and I would say maybe 2 or 3 out of 12 sessions is focused on sex. The rest is all about uncovering what has prevented them from deep intimacy and loving themselves and, you know, any beliefs that pretty much hold them back from what they want. And sex just ends up being a side effect. Literally, they'll get to the end and they're like, okay, wow, everything's been so amazing and my sex has been amazing, but like, now how do I take it to the next level? Then we talk about sex at that point. Because it's literally a side effect of the belief systems that you have. And once you transform that stuff and once you connect back to what's natural to you, to your own heart and to love, yeah, I mean, there's really no, I tell people all the time, there's no, I don't teach tips or tricks. Like I don't do like this Cosmo magazine thing where I'm like, okay, flip her over and do this. Because if sex is experienced in the brain, and you have all these different beliefs encrusting and creating a feeling around your natural sexuality, doing a different position isn't actually going to do anything. You might have a different sensation.
Uh-huh.
You might experience something a little bit new, but the overall feeling of sex is going to be the same because sex is experienced in your mind.
Still the same neural pathway.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
And the end result is the same.
End result is the same. Yeah, it might be a little exciting because it's something new.
Hopefully. Yes. That's the goal.
That's the goal. Jeremy, I'll explain to you later.
Well, that makes sense. I appreciate that. The after hour session. Got it. Thanks, Corey. Can't wait.
Let me put this time down to Mark when Jeremy looks completely disgusted with Corey.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, all right. So you've been doing this for how long? Did I already ask you that?
You said, yeah, 3 years.
3 years ago. Okay.
So did it have to be NYC when you started this? You were like, it's got to be in New York City.
I work with people all over the world.
Okay.
All my sessions are done over the phone.
So you don't do anything in office?
No. I'm thinking about opening like an actual center next year. But I don't
in New NYC?
York? Yeah.
Or okay. Here in
yeah. No, not here.
Okay.
No.
There's a lot of great places here.
Yeah, there are.
It's cold up there right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. Oh, you like the cold?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How come?
I like the change of season.
Okay.
I can't live like the same day, like Groundhog Day, over and over and over.
I can appreciate that. I like, yeah. It's nice, like the cool front coming this weekend, even though it's a Florida cold front. Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm with you.
High of 70 or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I personally love New York City. I think it's a great city. I think it's easy to get around. Food's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The food is good there.
I do like NYC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like living in a theme park. It's the best.
I've never been.
There's always something to do. Mm-hmm. Like I stayed in a hotel across from Times Square.
Vegas is a theme park. No, New York. I'm sorry. I know you love New York, but it doesn't hold a candle to Vegas.
I know.
Vegas. You're comparing New York City.
Yeah, I feel like
the greatest city in the whole world.
Yeah, I don't know.
So maybe even in the universe to Vegas.
Can they even gamble there?
I'm done with you.
Can they even gamble in New York City?
Corey's a contrarian.
Well, but Corey, anytime we're doing anything, there's always a little bit of, it's not, I don't want to call it negative, but he's definitely going to be the constructive criticizer of things.
He's a contrarian.
I don't know what that means. You're going to have to explain.
You're always like, no.
5.8.
This one's better. Beat it. Listen. So what is a common, you're talking about like, you're not like Cosmopolitan where you'll say like flip her over, this is better. But do people ever come in and is that their expectation? Like for sure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get messages all day long from guys who are like, just give me a tip. And I'm like, it doesn't work that way.
like all the
time.
Like, are you like on Instagram?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. are you known as that on Instagram?
Yes.
All right. Now let's get into this. What are your DMs like?
I think I checked it right before I got here. I have like 52 message requests right now. Uh-huh. And they're just so ridiculous. One guy was like, can you teach me how to get a girl to send me her panties? And I was like,
that's not what I'm about.
I'm done with you.
Well, how much is he willing to pay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Because I will send him some.
Yes.
It's just like,
I've heard that's a thing in like Asia.
Yeah, I'll send it to them.
They like right now. Online.
Jesus.
Now there's coaches out there who that person is their client for sure. Not me. Like I'm the one that like when I take on a client, it's somebody who will message me and be like, hey, I want to create a deeper level of connection to myself. Or hey, like I really want to have, you know, more pleasurable intimacy with my partner. Or, you know, I've done therapy in the past and here's what I know about myself and I'm missing something. That kind of stuff. There's like a level of consciousness and it's really, like I said, it's like I'm a men's sex coach. That's what I go by. But what I talk to my clients about is so beyond, like sure. so much deeper.
Yeah. It's probably more about just finding out about yourself, understanding yourself. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Falling in love with yourself and then offering that to another person.
So is this all phone or do you ever do any like FaceTime type?
I used to do video, but the reason I do phone is because, I can like really hear somebody's energy. I can hear what's happening when they're speaking words. And I just know, like, I know what's happening in their body in that moment. And it sounds really weird, but when I do video, I have this thing that happens in my brain where I can see my picture at the bottom And all I'm thinking is like, they're telling me something so vulnerable or so painful or so important. And I'm just like, in my mind, it's going, do I look empathetic enough? Like, do I look like I'm understanding?
I can understand that.
Do I look like,
like, Corey's the worst.
I'm the worst.
Although I'm pretty bad as well. Like when my wife gives me something, my expression is always the same. So it drives her crazy because it's always like, inside I'm like, this is awesome. But my external is like, but Corey
neutral
is like I can at least fake it for a kid.
I can't.
But Corey can't do anything.
I can't fake it for a child. Like try this cupcake that I made you. And I'm like, I feel the pressure on me like to have
he
like
actually ate my daughter the cupcake
reaction. Like, and then I'm like, then like I get inside my own head and I'm like,
then he's like, hey, this other kid's cupcake was way better.
And I'm like, then I'm worried about what like, my reaction is going to be
what
like.
What rating do I give
my
her?
Facial reaction, what I say. Right, and then it just ends up like, this is good.
Right. But, so you're not even connecting to like the joy of it to begin with.
And I'm not even tasting the said cupcake. I'm just like, I'm more worried about what's going to happen afterwards or my reaction. Or somebody gives me a nice gift or something and I'm like,
do I look appreciative enough?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate this. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I really do like what you got me. I just don't know how to react to it.
Yeah.
So how did you get your first client?
First paying client.
Yes. Did you do any free like coaching?
Okay, so it's been a while. I'm like trying to remember back in the beginning. No problem. Yes, I did. Yeah, I did some free coaching. Yeah. Okay. And when I was in school, we had to do what was called practicums. So we had to do like a lot of coaching on each other. There was 150 of us. And so we had to do sessions with each other all the time. And so I guess, I mean, that was free coaching. I guess you can lump that in there. But afterwards, no, I did some free coaching. The thing about becoming a coach is, normally when you create a business, you pick your niche, what you're passionate about, and then that's your business. That's what you go off of. But with coaching, it's so different and it's so difficult. And this is why like 95% of coaches fail. You can't pick a niche and then begin your business. You have to begin your business without your niche, because you don't actually know what you're passionate about until you start working with it. You can think you're passionate about it. I went through so many different niches in the beginning. Like I wanted to do like only heartbreak and grief. So I had like a lot of clients where I was just like coaching them through grief, like losing loved ones, family members, that kind of thing. And I was really passionate about that actually. But
I just feel like that would get to me.
Like, no, like, now I'm down. So, and that's the thing is people are always like, oh, your job must be soul sucking. And I'm like, no, it gives me so much energy to hold space. I would say, for
especially once you get them to a point of it. Being able to deal with it even better, I think that's probably rewarding for you.
Or just even in session, like I had a session today where it was like when that client reaches that moment where they just like penetrate their soul, you feel it, and it is so rewarding. It's just there's nothing more fulfilling to me than that, and it gives you energy. It just gives you energy. I never leave a session like drained. Okay. Never. So I did some like heartbreak grief coaching in the beginning. I was like specifically a desire coach where I was like working with couples who like did somebody in the relationship who didn't have desire. But the problem with that was I wasn't passionate about it. And also every single time I was reached out to by somebody in the couple, it was always the person that wanted the sex, not the person who didn't desire it. And the person who didn't desire it was really like the person I needed to be coaching, and they were always resistant to it. So it was kind of like a weird backward
I could see thing. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if somebody doesn't want to grow, it's not going to help dragging them somewhere. Yeah.
Well, not only that, but they don't feel that they have a problem.
Or they might
feel not be
like,
aware of it though.
Or they don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's,
you can go to therapy all day, but if you're not willing to like try and grow, then therapy's not going to do anything for you.
And also it's a really overwhelming feeling to feel like there's something wrong with you or to feel like you're broken in some way. Like you can't make your partner happy. So
wrong with you.
I know.
Yeah.
Maybe I just assume I'm screwed up in the head most of the time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right.
Do you have any? You want to do the question? You want to keep going?
Well, where can they find you?
Yeah, let's do that. Yep.
Yeah.
So my website is sexualmasterynyc.com. And I'm on Instagram, sexualmasterynyc.
Don't be weird on the DMs, guys. Yeah,
don't be weird on the DM. No, guys. You can be weird. I love it. I accept everything.
Okay.
I all totally right.
But
accept
she's
everything.
She's definitely just throwing it in the garbage. Okay.
Well, or, and hear me out, Justina, you should put that in your stories.
What?
Oh, people's DMs?
I think start blowing people up in your stories on whatever they say.
Yeah.
No, I do that. I do do that sometimes.
Oh, okay. I'm going to start following you.
Yes. Yeah, the panty guy, he definitely made an appearance in my story. It was pretty good.
Okay, yeah.
Right. It was pretty good.
Anything that that's way too raunchy, you can send us. We'll put in our story.
Right on. And we'll tag it as hashtag keen.
Okay. So we like to end our episodes asking you a question, and that is, based on your experiences, what is one of the most important pieces of advice you can give our listeners that they could put into their lives?
So the whole foundation of my work, the message behind what I do, is unconditional love. And the best piece of advice that I can give to anyone listening to this is to open your heart when you feel fear, and to offer the people around you, whether it's a romantic partner, family, friends, absolute acceptance of who they are and what they bring to the table. Unconditional love is the ability to accept all parts of a person, regardless of whether or not that person or their pieces fulfill your needs. And so my greatest piece of advice is to really open your heart when you feel fear, most especially when you feel fear, and to fully accept the people in your life as they are.
And that's strong.
That's good advice, definitely.
Legit stuff. Again, we thank you, Justina, for sure.
Thanks for coming on.
Guys, thanks for listening. Make sure you share all our stuff on social media. If you got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com.
And if you want to follow us on social media, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at fullgorillalife. I'm sorry, Facebook and Instagram. I messed it up. It was my turn. See? At fullgorillalife. And on Twitter at gorillafull. Like beautiful, but with a gorilla. Thanks, Corey.
And please don't forget to visit our website, fullgorilla.life. And please do not forget to hit subscribe on your podcast app of choice.
A lot of not forgetting there.
Don't forget. Yeah, please. Don't forget. Later. Please hit subscribe.